what's in your mind the biggest reason for the turnaround for the Raptors in this series?
I think the aggressiveness defensively. I think the physicality. It looks like to me that the Raptors are just wearing Giannis down. You know, you have took the approach where Kawhi Leonard is, you know, taking a challenge and guarding him for the most part of the games, along with a great team scheme and a great team defense. But most importantly, the physicality. They're bringing a physical nature to the game that, honestly, and I hate saying it about players and teams and stuff, it makes the Bucks look a little soft. And I think that's the biggest approach and the biggest change from game two to game three and four.
What do you think it is about getting deeper in the postseason? Because, yeah, I've hearing guys like you, former players, where there's that little bit of a change, that there's a bit of a different Giannis Antetokounmpo that we're used to. Is it just like mental fatigue of having to try to go into these games and have to figure it out every night? Is it more the physical toll on your body and trying to overcome those in spots? Like, what makes these games seemingly harder for a team like the Bucks that are led by a player that that has not been this deep in the postseason before?
Well, you're playing against a better team. You know, you're not playing against, you know, if you're the Bucks, you're not playing against the eighth seed, then, you know, a controversial or a disoriented Celtics team. You know, you're playing against a team that got here just where you are by beating teams. And it's just the higher competition, the higher talent level, the better coach, all those things play a part. So Giannis is going against a bigger beast, and that's just what it is right now. That's what it is, and you're going against one of the top defensive players.
Yeah,
if you're not prepared for that, if you're not prepared, and this is Giannis's first go around getting this far as the man, as that guy that's going to take the punishment. So I think those are the two biggest elements when you're looking at going that deep into the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear you say that, because I was talking earlier about how the Raptors have been through some stuff this postseason in that Sixers series. It was dark at times, right, before game four, and Kawhi has the incredible game. There were a lot of people writing this team's obituary where it's been pretty smooth sailing despite losing game one against the Celtics for the Bucks. And you're right that they're not playoff tested, right? They've never been this deep before. And the Raptors as a franchise have only been here once, but you got a finals MVP. Like, how much of a factor could that play, the fact that the Bucks are going through their first little bit of adversity this postseason?
I mean, I think it could play a big part, but I'm pretty sure when you play like a whole season together and you have that team makeup, I don't think they're going to get fragmented. I don't think they're going to get rattled. I think they may not play at a higher level or the highest level that they need to play at collectively, because we've seen individuals from the team have great games, whether it's Brook Lopez, whether it's Ilya Sova and George Hill, and, you know, Chris Middleton had 30 points yesterday, but collectively they haven't done that on the road. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back at home. And usually your bench players and your reserve players, they play better at home for whatever reason that is. Collectively, they usually play better. So it's going to be interesting to see if Toronto really can keep that physical nature. I really think that's wearing the Bucks down and bring that to the road and get the crowd out of it and see how early they can do that and sustain it like they did, like they didn't do in game one.
Why do you think that is, with the bench players especially and guys and shooters and being in different gyms, and why it does change?
I don't know. I don't know, because, you know, I was that guy, right? I remember playing against Detroit Pistons and I sucked in Detroit. Like, I remember the first two games I sucked in Detroit and we lost. And then when I came back home, I played better. I felt better. The crowd was in it. I guess that's a big part of it. And then we won the next two. Of course, we lost and I sucked in game five. So I know from my experience, I sucked on the road, and I was that other player. I wasn't the top player. I was the other player. I was maybe the reserve or the supporting guy. So I don't know why that is. Maybe it's a comfortable level, a comfort level, but usually that's what it is.
Yeah, I just always wonder if it's mental, if it's like you don't feel as comfortable, and all of a sudden it becomes a snowball effect, or if it actually is just knowing your spots and knowing how a rim plays a little bit differently, or if it's not sleeping in your bed and some guys who just can't sleep in a hotel. But yeah, it is interesting that, you know, most people just still can't ever really put a consensus pinpoint on it, but that we all acknowledge that it is true.
Yeah. Usually when you're the reserve guy, you're the other guy, you usually wait for the other stuff to happen and, you know, you take the crumbs and you try to figure it out. You don't have that type of rhythm where where everything's going to grow through you or whatever the case may be. And the defense is much better. You know, the home defense, they're more aggressive. They're more in tune. So the home team usually plays better. So that could be an element, but I really can't answer to that. All I know, those games, I know I sucked, so I can't even give you a reason why.
Well, is it when this team does go on the road and they do play Milwaukee in game 5, is this simply just a role players need to provide more secondary offense situation? Because, yeah, you got to assume there's going to be some getting back to the mean when it comes to the Bucks bench too, right? Like, they were dreadful in that game on the road. The Raptors were incredible. Mm-hmm. But is there a middle ground here? Like, what do you need from your bench, or what do you need on the road if the Raptors are going to have success in game 5?
I mean, I definitely think in an ideal world, you want them to play like they played yesterday, right? Everyone get in there and play a big part. It was great to see Freddie bounce back. It was great. It's great to see how Norm been playing in these past 3 games against the Bucks and Kyle and all that stuff. But once again, I really believe the defensive approach is really going to do it. I think because those shots may go in, they may not go in, but you can stay in the game if you create that physical nature, or you keep bringing that physical nature and you make it hard on Giannis and those other guys contest those shots. Because I don't believe that those guys that were missing shots, the Ilyasovas and all the other ones, Michael Brogdon, those guys, they're not going to miss like they missed in Toronto. So I think you still create that wall. You be physical with Giannis, and you get out there on the shooters. Don't lose them and things like that. Staying really focused to detail and always playing with a purpose on the defensive end. And then the offense will follow you. Sooner or later, your offense will follow you, and it will click. And I think that's the best and simplistic way to approach game 5.
Who's been most impressive to you defensively? I think I know the answer.
From the Raptors?
Yeah.
Man, I think it's been a team defense. Oh. I think, you put Kawhi on there, and it's so rare, guys. It's so rare when you have your best player guarding the other best player. Those days are gone. You know, those days are gone where the best player supposedly take the challenge, and I'm going to stop those things. So from a psychological point of view and from a team leadership point of view, your team has to do nothing but bow down and say, we're going to take the challenge to do the same. You know, we're going to help our best guy. It's just like one of those things. So I think Kawhi taking that challenge and Nick Nurse putting him to the challenge, I think that changed the whole complexity of what this team looks like. I think I really do. When you see those two guys going against each other and Kawhi's taking that challenge, and we see he's a little hobbled and he's going through a lot. So I think it means a lot, and I think that means the whole team defense, they're really stepping up. So it's just not just one person. I think the approach with Kawhi, but the team defense is the most impressive thing to me these past couple games.
The team defense is incredible, but the Raptors are also better suited from a personnel standpoint to face this Bucks team than a lot of different groups, right? Like, no one really has the luxury of throwing Kawhi Leonard on Giannis Antetokounmpo and slowing him down. And a lot of teams have a Pascal Siakam or a Danny Green that are there for when they want to force the switches. And the other part is, when Gasol is down there in the paint, it seems like he is really bothering Giannis. Like, when they're in their half-court set and they're gapping Giannis Antetokounmpo and forcing him to either, like, dribble into Siakam or Kawhi Leonard with Marc Gasol waiting behind him, that there's a hesitancy to him that you're not really used to seeing against other teams. That's why it just feels like so much of this is like, just keep the Bucks out of the half court or keep the Bucks in your half court defense, force them to play against that defense. If you can force them not to just run in transition and miss those shots and get turnovers, that the Raptors, like, they can ugly this up, that they don't need to hit those shots necessarily, or some shots, but not at an incredible percentage. Like, to me, it's still just like, this team is based in their defense, and that if it's a half court defense, they can win this series.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I believe, you know, Marc Gasol, I even said game 1 and game 2, I know it wasn't that great, but game 1, you know, defensively, Marc Gasol was everywhere. Like, he was there, and I think that's one of the reasons why Brook Lopez may have gotten off, because he did such a great job helping on Giannis, giving that big body, being physical and things like that. But I do agree with you. I think that defense approach, once again, and you don't put so much pressure on yourself to make a shot. It's so much pressure if you're a guy like Freddie or Norm or Serge. When you get in there and you may get 4 or 5 shots, and you have to knock them down, especially at this stage of the game, because the defense is so much tighter and you may not have the best rhythm. So the best way you can go about it is, you know, playing that defense, being in help position, creating multiple efforts and all those type of things you talked about. So I agree with you 100%.
Talking to Alvin Williams. Okay, so what about the offensive execution and the Kawhi Leonard only taking 13 field goal attempts, and it was a double-digit margin most of the game, so maybe that plays into it. But he's hobbled as well, right? He's not at 100%. Is that a formula for success for this team to win the series? Is him being that limited offensively, or is he likely to need to do more the rest of the series?
I mean, it's going to be times where we want him to do more and he's going to need to do more, but you didn't need it yesterday. You didn't need it. He gave you damn near his life game three, right? So, like, he didn't really need much, and it was beautiful to see the ball popping around, guys making shots. And it's no coincidence a lot of times when that ball moves around and the guys are in rhythm, those shots will go in. These guys are pros. These guys, this is what they do for a living. So that wasn't a fluke yesterday of what we saw. It was a great piece. And I look at game one, the beginning of it, and I looked at game three, the beginning of it. Toronto was playing very well offensively. Shots were going in, and Kawhi Leonard wasn't taking those shots. He wasn't shooting. He was barely touching the ball at times. And then, you know, the game goes on and things change. But, of course, the Raptors have showed a lot of success in this series without Kawhi being dominant from the outset of the game. So I think it's the Raptors have that luxury where we have a go-to guy. A lot of teams don't have those go-to guys. So whenever you need to call him, Kawhi will be there. But the other guys still have to be involved. Kawhi still has to make a certain effort to get those guys involved and keep them involved when he can be the closer when need be.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to diminish anyone here in terms of the bench players, because they were incredible in that game. I thought Serge in the second quarter was awesome. Fred VanVleet hitting those open shots, awesome. Norm Powell is showing an aggressiveness that this team needs, especially when it comes to probing and getting close to the rim and shooting those above the break threes when the Bucks are conceding them. But yesterday was the Kyle Lowry game, right? Like, he came out, he set the tone for that team, and then he just basically never let go of the reins. And I thought he was the best player in that game. Like, maybe you could make the case for Middleton, but Lowry's team won that game. You've watched this guy forever, like his entire career, essentially. What impressed you the most about Kyle last night?
I like the way he mixed it up. I like his balance. I like how that, like you said, first quarter, first half, he came out. You know, I think he had like 18 points in the first half, yep. Made some shots, but I liked the way he was getting to the basket, getting to the foul line, getting into the teeth of the defense and being, you know, balancing up, taking the shots, finding other people. And then he just managed the game at the end. You know, he didn't take as many shots in the second half, had his opportunities, but he managed it. So I thought he did a great job being aggressive, setting the tone offensively, and, you know, just managing the game for the closeout. And I think that's what he is, man. He's a point guard. So we got spoiled with Kyle being that scorer. And I was never a big fan of Kyle Lowry, the scorer, because I know what other elements that he bring. And I always thought that Kyle was the guy that could do things that no other point guard in the NBA could do, as far as the dirty stuff, as far as the toughness and everything. But Kyle got into a point where he was the scorer. So it was needed, but now he's back into that point guard mode where I'm going to get everyone involved, still do the dirty things. But now he had a great balance last night with both of those things, the scorer and the manager. So I thought it was a great performance by Kyle, and I think it's going to be needed to go forward.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard us before, but I was listening to something with Kenny Smith on Tim and Sid, and he was talking about, like, one of the early signs for the Raptors is seeing Kyle Lowry run the offense and Kyle Lowry start with the ball in his hand. And that maybe, just maybe, there is one little upside to not having Kawhi at 100%, as crazy as that sounds, and that maybe it is Kyle Lowry initiating the offense a little bit more. And we are used to seeing Lowry play off the ball. We are used to seeing those two-point guard lineups, and he is effective as, you know, a spot-up shooter. But do you think that this team ultimately has the highest ceiling with Lowry running the offense and Kawhi not having just as much pressure on him offensively, where he's initiating things and he's starting with the ball in his hands to start the clock?
Yeah, I do. I do believe that. I think Kyle is the one guy that can, you know, alleviate some of the pressure off of Kawhi. Of course, like, once again, you have Kawhi as a luxury, the finisher and everything like that. But I do believe Kyle is that guy that could be that second guy. And you know, everyone, you know, put Pascal Siakam as the second guy. I've never saw it as that. Mm-hmm. You know, the narrative was that. But, you know, Pascal Siakam is a very good young player that's coming into his own. But Kyle is the experienced guy who's done that, and you need him. I heard you mention it before. Like, he's the one guy that can make those passes, those pocket passes, to do the things that no one else on that team can do. Mm-hmm. They don't have that mindset. They don't have that ability to do it. So Kyle is that second guy, not just scoring, but that's reliable to have the ball in his hand and to make plays. And then you have someone like a Marc Gasol that can do the same thing. So you have out there in that five, three out of five players that can make those type of plays for everyone else around. And that's a dangerous combination. So I do believe, Kyle, the ceiling is very high when Kyle is, you know, handling the ball. And then once again, there's a balance with Kawhi and Kyle handling the ball.